She glanced sideways at Daft Woolly. He was chewing the edge of his kilt. He only ever did this when he was frightened.
Would you accept a wee bitty lie? Rob said.
No.
It's interesting. There's dragons and unicorns in it.
No, I want the truth.
Ach, it's so boring. We go to the Baron's castle and read the letters you sent him, and you said the postman knows to leave letters to you in the hollow tree by the waterfall, said Rob.
If the Wintersmith had got into the cottage, the air couldn't have been any colder.
He keeps the letters for ye in a box under his... Rob began, and then shut his eyes as Tiffany's patience parted with a twang even louder than Miss Treason's strange cobwebs.
"Don't you know it's wrong to read other people's letters?" she demanded.
Rob
anybody began. "And you broke into the Baron's cast—"
No, said Rob, jumping up and down. "You cannot get us on that one. We just walked in through one of them little wee slits for the firing of the arrows."
"And then you read my personal letters sent personally to Roland," said Tiffany.
"They were personal."
"Why?" said Rob anybody.
"But dinna fash yoursel. We will not tell anyone what was in them."
"We ne'er tell a soul what's in your diary after all," said Daft Woolly. "Not e'en the bits with the flowers you draw around them."
Miss Treason is grinning to herself behind me, Tiffany thought. I just know she is. But she'd run out of nasty tones of voice. You did that after talking to the Feagles for any length of time. "You were there, Kelda," her second thoughts reminded her. "They think they have a solemn duty to protect you. It doesn't matter what you think. They're going to make your life so complicated." "Don't read my letters," she said. "And don't read my diary either."
"Okay,"
said Rob anybody. "Promise?"
"Why?"
"But you promised last time."
"Why?"
"Cross your heart and hope to die?"
"Why, nay problemo."
"And that's the promise of an untrustworthy, lying, stealing Feagle, is it?" said Miss Treason. "Because you believe your deed already, do you know? That's what your people think, right?"
"Oh, aye, mistress,"
said Rob anybody.
"Thank you for drawing my attention to that." "In fact, Rob anybody, you ha' nae intention of keeping any promise at all."
"Aye, mistress," said Rob proudly.
"Not pure wee weak promises like that,
because, you see, 'tis our solemn destiny to guard the big wee hag. We must lead doon our lives for her if it comes to it."
"How can you do that when you're deed already?" said Miss Treason sharply.
"That's a bit of a puzzler, right enough," said Rob.
"So probably we'll lay doon the lives of any scunners who do wrong by her."
Tiffany gave up and sighed.
"I'm almost 13, she said. "I can look after myself."
"Hark at Miss Self-Reliant," said Miss Treason,
but not in a particularly nasty way.
"Against the Wintersmith."
"What does he want?" said Tiffany.
"I told you. Perhaps he wants to find out what kind of girl was so forward as to dance with him," said Miss Treason.
"It was my feet. I said I didn't mean to." Miss Treason turned around in her chair. How many eyes is she using? Tiffany's second thoughts wondered. The Feagles? The ravens? The mice? All of them? How many of me is she seeing? Is she watching me with mice or insects with dozens of glittery eyes?
"Oh, that's all right, then," said Miss Treason. "Once again, you didn't mean it. A witch takes responsibility. Have you learned nothing, child?"
Child. That was a terrible thing to say to anyone who was almost 13. Tiffany felt herself going red again. The horrible hotness spread inside her head. That was why she walked across the room, opened the front door, and stepped outside. A fluffy snow was falling very gently. When Tiffany looked into the pale grey sky, she saw the flakes drifting down in soft, feathery clusters. It was the kind of snow that people back home on the chalk called Granny Aching Shearing Her Sheep. Tiffany felt the flakes melting on her hair as she walked away from the cottage. Miss Treason was shouting from the doorway, but she walked on, letting the snow cool her blushes. "Of course, this is stupid," she told herself. "But being a witch is stupid. Why do we do it? It's hard work for not much reward. What's a good day for Miss Treason? When someone brings her a second-hand pair of old boots that fit properly. What does she know about anything? Where is the Wintersmith, then? Is he here? I've only got Miss Treason's word for it, that and a made-up picture in a book." "Wintersmith!" she shouted. You could hear the snow falling. It made a strange little noise, like a faint, cold sizzle. "Wintersmith!" There was no reply. Well, what had she expected? A big booming voice? Mr. Spikey, the icicle man? There was nothing but the softness of white snow falling patiently among dark trees. She felt a bit silly now, but satisfied too. This was what a witch did. She faced what she was afraid of, and then it held no more fear. She was good at this. She turned and saw the Wintersmith. "Remember this," said her third thoughts, cutting in. "Every little detail is important." The Wintersmith was nothing, but the snow outlined him. It flowed around him in lines, as if travelling on an invisible skin. He was just a shape, and nothing more, except perhaps for two tiny, pale, purple-grey dots in the air, where you might expect to find eyes. Tiffany stood still, her mind frozen, her body waiting to be told what to do. The hand made of falling snow was reaching toward her now, but very slowly, as you would reach out toward an animal you do not want to frighten. There was something, some strange sense of things unsaid because there was no voice to say them. A sense of striving, as if the thing were putting heart and soul into this moment, even if it did not know the meaning of heart or soul. The hand stopped about a foot away from her. It was formed into a fist, and now it turned over and the fingers opened. Something gleamed. It was the white horse made of silver on a fine silver chain. Tiffany's hand flew to her throat. But she'd had it on last night, before she went to watch the dance. It must have come off, and he'd found it. "That's interesting," said her third thoughts, that busied themselves with the world in their own way. "You can't see what's hidden inside an invisible fist. How does that work? And why are those little purple-grey blurs in the air where you'd expect to find eyes? Why aren't they invisible?" That's third thoughts for you. When a huge rock is going to land on your head, they're the thoughts that think, "Is that an igneous rock such as granite, or is it sandstone?" That part of Tiffany's brain that was a little less precise at the moment watched the silver horse dangle on its chain. Her first thought was, "Take it." Her second thought was, "Don't take it, it's a trap." Her third thought was, "Really don't take it, it will be colder than you can imagine." And then the rest of her overruled the thoughts entirely and said, "Take it, it's part of who you are. Take it. When you hold it, you think of home. Take it." She held out her right hand. The horse dropped into it. Instinctively, she closed her fingers over it. It was, indeed, colder than she could have imagined, and it burned. She screamed. The Wintersmith's snowy outline became a flurry of flakes. The snow around her feet erupted with a cry of "Crivens!" as a mass of Feagles grabbed her feet and carried her upright across the clearing and back in through the cottage's doorway.